This is the Horse Radio Network.
This is episode 513 of the Dressage Radio Show, official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products and Total Saddle Fit. Tonight, we have Karen Isberg come on to discuss the topic of insulin resistance. Trainer Laura Ashley Killian tackles a complicated email question from a listener, and Ashley Rand gives us a great trainer tip.
This is Reese Goffler Stanfield from Georgetown, Kentucky.
And this is Philip Parks from Rockwood, Ontario, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi, Reese. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
I love it.
My horses all went really well today.
Don't you love that?
All of them.
That's the best day.
Have you ever had anything like that?
Yeah, I did. Last week, it was the same thing because we had the same discussion. It was like at the end of the day, we're like cleaning tack, hanging out, getting everything done. And Dominique, my wonderful barn manager, and I were like, you know what? They were all really good today. And it's just the best feeling.
Sure is. Your work's paying off. You know, you sort of go about, the problems that you've been having for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, month, whatever. And they just... everything seems to click for whatever reason. They're in a good mood and
love it.
We're all happy.
The weather's right. Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
The stars align.
Yes.
All of those things have to happen and we're really grateful for that.
I love it. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, we had a pretty good day here today. We've been working quite hard because we have a horse show this weekend. So the horses, I think, are actually going to get a little lighter day before we leave for the show tomorrow because I think we were all tired, myself included. So, and we had lots of storms and rain around, so it was windy and weird. So they weren't all fantastic, but they were all really good yesterday. So I'm going to take that as a good omen for the weekend.
All right. Well, you guys were recording a little early because Reese is off next week to Europe to do a big tour. I think she talked about it last week with everybody. So.
We're
trying to get some last things done real quick here.
I'll give a fun report. So we're going to start. Actually, we're going to get this party started with Karen Isberg. She's going to come and talk to us from Kentucky Performance Products. She's one of our go-tos, and she's going to talk about a wonderful insulin-resistant product called InsulinWise.
Well, we are excited for our monthly segment with Karen Isberg, president of Kentucky Performance Products. Karen, welcome to the show this month.
Thank you, Reese. It's fun to be here.
Well, we always love it. And we actually have this has been a hot topic of conversation at Maple Crest Farm this week because we are now back in Kentucky and all that not so good rain has made everything so green. It is actually really, really beautiful, but it's been already a challenge of managing horses that are a little bit on the bigger side. So can you talk to us a little bit about some issues that we have in the spring with metabolic issues?
A little bit on the pudgy side. And actually, it's not even just the, I've got one.
His name is Oreo.
He is now in a muzzle, much to his dismay.
He's a double stuffed Oreo right now, legitimately. He's kind
double
of pudgy.
Stuffed Oreo.
He's double stuffed.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need to get some of that stuffing out of him.
Yeah.
So the main thing that folks need to worry about, and the problem with metabolic disease, especially insulin resistance, is you don't always know your horse has it until they break with laminitis. So if you have a horse that's a little bit overweight or has a really crusty neck or has some fat pads on his butt, those are kind of some of the symptoms that you would have for a horse that is either has the disease or may develop the disease in the future. So when you have these horses, the best thing to do is to be very careful of the spring and the fall grass. So what you're looking at is you want to watch the weather. And when it's warm outside and it's below 40 degrees at night, what happens is during the day when the sun is out, the grass does all of its photosynthesis and it collects a lot of sugar in the leaves of the grass. Now, when it's 40 degrees at night, grass does not grow at all. So all that sugar sits in the leaves. And then the next day, there's more and more and more. So on these warm days with cool nights, the grass is packed full of sugar. And if you have a horse that is insulin resistant or you think might develop insulin resistance because they're that type of horse, you want to take them off the grass completely. They don't need to eat it at all. Take them off. Put them in a muzzle, a really good grazing muzzle, or put them in a dry lot so that they can't get it. Then when the grass, in the summer, when the days are warm and the nights are warm, then the grass grows. So the grass accumulates sugar all day long, but then during the night, the grass actually grows. So people are funny when they go, man, the grass grew overnight. Well, it really does grow overnight. And at that point, then the sugars go into the roots and the stalks and other places in the grass that it's kind of dissipated to a degree because the plant grows using that sugar. And so there's not as much sugar. So in that case, if you have a horse that, you know, you're concerned about getting too much sugar, and you want to let them graze, if you're going to let them graze at all, you want to let them graze first thing in the morning, because that's when the sugar levels are the lowest. And as soon as the sun comes out, that plant's going to start producing sugars again. So those are just some of the things to be careful of. If you have a horse that's confirmed insulin resistant, they need to stay off the grass completely at all times, because they really just can't handle it.
Yeah, and that's sometimes hard for owners to swallow. We have one like that here at the farm. And, you know, we would love to turn him out. Absolutely love it. But he cannot be out on the grass. He's just not, he's not made for that. He's made to be in the desert, I think. He just cannot go on the grass. I mean, it's just a very, you know, and it's hard because you feel mean, or you feel mean in a muzzle. That particular horse, you cannot keep a muzzle on his head. He gets out of it. He's really good at it. And it was really a problem. And we just finally had to he just goes in a dry lot. And
exactly. And you give him his hay and you give him some friends. And, you know, actually, if you've ever seen a horse with laminitis, it's far, far kinder to put them in a dry lot or put them in a muzzle than it is to allow them to get that disease, because it's really painful for the horse and it's really horrible. So it's something you want to avoid at all costs if you can.
Yeah,
I think it's a good idea is what I try and send people, you know, onto some online resources to be able to body condition score their own horse. Mm-hmm. You know, every couple of months or something. You know, there's some great resources that let you know what is an ideal weight for a horse, because I think in people's mind, the ideal weight is a little heavier than what, you know, what science says an ideal weight is for a horse, or, you know, some body condition things that you can look at to let you know what's going on and not to let it get too bad. Because once you get to one or the other end of that, of the scale, it's very hard to fix.
Just like a person.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's hard to get them to lose weight if they get too fat, or gain weight if they get too skinny. We actually have an article on condition scoring on the kppusa.com website for anybody that wants to go look. It's under our tips and topics section. And you can, in the search box, you can just put condition score and that will come up. We have pictures and everything that tell what the horse should look like at the different condition scores. And you want to have your horse around a five is best, 4 or 5. Some horses carry a little more weight. They might be a 6 if it's a heavier breed, but that's
the condition
score.
Breed matters
once a month,
as well, too.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. You can't turn a Percheron into a thoroughbred, but that doesn't mean, you know, that you should allow your Percheron to get very heavy or, you know, large for his breed, if you can put it
that way. And it gets a lot of other problems, too, when horses are obese. It's hard on their joints. It's hard on their respiratory system. It's just like people, you know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's metabolic disease, but it also, you know, leads to a lot of issues with joints. So if you want to keep your horses sounder, they're better off to be a little on the slim side.
Yeah. And so, Karen, you do have a product, and I've tested this product on the horse we talked about just a minute ago, and it's made a huge difference. So can you tell us a little bit about it? Because you can't just buy this product, correct?
No. Well, this product is called Insulin Wise. And it's available through our Wiser Concepts veterinary formula product line. So you'd have to go to your veterinarian and talk to them about it. And the reason we sell it through veterinarians is because most of the time, if you have a horse that's insulin resistant, you want to have them under the veterinarian's care anyway. You want to have that discussion with your veterinarian. They can test the horse and tell you whether that's a problem or not. You can use this product on a horse that you suspect could become insulin resistant, or you can use it on a horse that is insulin resistant. And what it is it's a new product. We did some research up at Michigan State a couple of years ago. We had a nice herd of horses that were confirmed IR horses when we did the research. And it basically, if you feed this product, it makes them more insulin sensitive. So it increases their insulin sensitivity, it decreases the amount of glucose that's circulating in their blood system, and also decreases the insulin. So it moves them back more towards a normal metabolic status, which then takes the pressure off the laminae in the feet. So that, and that's what you're looking for.
That makes total sense. And it's really helped this particular horse just in his body. His whole look is different. He's been on it since Florida, right? Since we got to Florida, and made a huge difference with this horse. So, and actually we have just this week, which is why we came up with this topic. I've sent three people to Karen and their veterinarians about this issue here in Kentucky. So we have a feeling that it's probably something that a lot of people want to talk about.
Yeah. But, it's that time of year. Yeah. And you will see, I mean, when these horses are not utilizing the glucose properly, they put fat in odd places, like in the orbit over their eyes. And they put the fat pads on, you know, sides of their withers and on their neck and on their butt. So when you get the metabolism normalized again, so when you get the insulin sensitivity where it needs to be, then those fat pads and stuff start to dissipate. And that's the change that you saw on the horse we're talking about.
Yeah, huge, huge difference. We all were like, oh my gosh, she should have gone on the website. But you know, it's been a huge help. And it's helped him too, because it's helped with the work and all that kind of stuff. So it's really been it's been an amazing product.
Yeah,
and
he can eat a little bit more hay now, mm-hmm. and, you know, because you're not fighting constantly fighting that weight battle with him.
Yeah, exactly. Now he eats.
He's metabolizing more normally.
Mm-hmm. He eats as much hay as we feed him, but through a slow feeding hay net. So it's still restricted a little bit, but we feed him as much as we can, which has been great. And it's good for him in other ways. So it's been a really helpful product. Well, Karen, we can't thank you enough for all your help, as always. How can our listeners find you online? And again, the website, because it's a great website with lots of resources. So
they can go on Facebook and search for Kentucky Performance Products. We're there all the time, and you can private message us if you have questions, or you can put the question on the Facebook page if you don't mind being public. And you can call us at 859-873-2974. We're open 8 to 5, Monday through Friday. You can go to info@kppusa.com and send us an email. And please do go to our websites. We have two. We have kppusa.com for our over-the-counter products that are sold in the retail stores. And then we have kppvet.com, and that's where you would find information on the insulin wise.
Fantastic.
So lots of ways to get a hold of us.
Absolutely.
And I'm happy to talk to anybody that has questions. I've talked to quite a few people from the radio show. I talk to people probably every week from the Horse Radio Network. So it's lots of fun.
Excellent. Well, that's what we love to hear. Well, Karen, as always, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I hope you guys enjoy the beautiful weather.
Well, as always, we love Karen's information, and I hope that really helps everyone from Kentucky Performance Products. We have that here, a lot of issues here at the barn, and that product has really been helpful for us. So we're going to come back after this commercial break with Laura Ashley Killian. She is going to talk to us and help us answer some listener questions that we've been waiting to get to.
The sun is just peeking above the tree line as you walk into the barn. You grab your horse's halter off the hook and head out to the field. The dew shimmers in the sun as you walk across the damp grass. You call his name and his head comes up as he walks toward you looking for the apple in your pocket. You take your time grooming, enjoying the peace and quiet in the empty barn. A refreshing breeze greets you as you start down the tree-lined path. Your horse ambles along on a loose rein as you both enjoy a relaxing ride. The feeling you get on an early morning hack is why we do what we do at Kentucky Performance Products. This feeling is brought to you by Microphase. Fill the nutritional gaps in your horse's diet. Microphase Vitamin and Mineral Supplement is a low-calorie way to provide your horse with the vitamins and minerals missing from their diet. The horse that matters to you matters to us.
Well, as promised, we told everyone we've got lots of email questions in the queue, and we're very excited this evening to have Laura Ashley Killian from Laura Ashley Dressage on the show. She is one of the newest certified instructors to fourth level. Laura Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
We are happy to have you. And you did such a fantastic job. It was fun seeing you guys all work through the certification. It's not an easy program, but we are happy to have you help us answer one of these questions that our listeners sent in. So Phil, can you get us started and read us the question?
All right. Today we are going to be tackling a question from Carrie.
Okay.
I'm going to read you the email. It says, "Hi, the biggest area of confusion for me is regarding the rein aids and their purpose. I understand the reins can be used to help rebalance the horse, but I don't understand how it affects the horse's body. I've noticed some upper level riders look heavy-handed or look like they're moving their arms backwards instead of having quiet hands. Can you help me understand what the hands rein aids are meant to do and how the rider should properly use execute the rein aids?" This is actually a really big question and a really difficult question. So what we're going to try and do is try and unpack the essence of it and try and answer at least some of the questions. And what you can do is, if you need further clarification on any point or have more questions, write us again. Mm-hmm. We can tackle it again, because again, like, this is a really huge issue. So, but if Laura Ashley, maybe you can get us started and we can try and do our best with this.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, I'm actually going to start with, on the contrary, I went to WEG to watch this past time in Tryon, and I was quite pleased with seeing soft, consistent riders' hands from these top riders on these top, powerful, strong, warm bloods, and how eloquently they were able to put together the pictures. Certainly, there's some exceptions to the rules out there, but a lot of beautiful classical riding still at the top of our sport, and just a few things in between that, you know, things happen with these big horses, and you try to keep the principles in mind that we want the horse to be light and soft and out to the hand in a relaxed and pleasant way throughout the entire ride. And then we can start to go through and break down how we can help her beyond the rebalancing of the horse and talk more about how it does affect the horse's body.
No, I think that's a good point. You know, I think in general, you know, I don't think that anybody comes out to have heavy hands, right? I don't think that people
certainly
wake up
not
every
the
morning.
Goal or the idea.
Yeah, I think if you see people that are heavy-handed, I mean, there's reasons that they're heavy-handed, probably because the horse is quite heavy. So, and pulling or running or not listening to a half halt. So I think there's a lot to be said about that, like with the rein aids. You know, I think, you know, people a lot in sort of my daily training, you know, we talk a lot about a horse, let's say, pulling the rider's reins or hanging on the hands that would lead to sort of a heavy-handed look. That's actually a symptom of the problem. The problem being that the horse isn't engaged from behind. You know,
right,
or isn't listening. Right. And the horse is out of balance. So you end up having heavy hands. So I think when you start talking about sort of the rein aids, you start talking about, okay, a lot of times we as riders feel the horse's pull. So we, because we're humans, pull back. And that's kind of the root, I think, of the problem. I mean, what do you think? Yeah. What do you think? I mean, is that the root of the problem there?
Well, sometimes a rider will accidentally come out of their own balance, and when they're fighting to find their position, they may then go to the horse when they're learning, when they're, say, in their beginning stages of their riding. But then once you're fairly rooted in your position, then it's not getting coaxed into falling with the horse into the bad habit. And so, for example, I've got two separate but similar issues that I've got in my barn going on right now. My personal horse, we have gone backwards to go forward, and we're working on the inside leg to outside rein. And that has been the root of our rides for the past few weeks here, especially tracking right. Because as you're going, she might not give me as good of a reaction off the right leg into the left rein. And as a rider, it's so tempting in that moment to go, well, if I just flex the jaw a little to the right, then I can give the illusion of bend. And when you get in that show arena and you've got a half pass coming up right now and you have to show bend and you have to get across the arena, sometimes you go, okay, how am I going to get it done in this moment? Instead of going, you know, this isn't about the horse not coming through on the right and not flexing right. This is about them not responding properly to my right leg. Or I've got another horse that I'm working with that
If you maintain your position, then she's beautiful and soft. But as soon as you start to tip or your reins get a little bit long, she starts to lose her balance. And then she'll get a little bit heavier if you don't sustain your position. So for her, it's all about the rebalancing half halt and keeping her active and back on her hind legs, a little bit more engaged so that she stays carried up, light and through. And if I would go to just pulling her up, the neck would get short. She would get tense in the back. Her strides would get blocked and she wouldn't reach as well through. Whereas if you keep that softer position, then it allows that energy to recycle through the connection. And she finds that wall more or less in front of her that says, that's far enough. Here's your box that I want you to live within. Here's your parameters. Now recycle that energy back behind and stay in this frame without pulling the horse into that frame.
Yeah, I just returned to the question a little bit. I kind of was doing a little rereading. And I mean, and I said it in early on, this is such a big question because your rein, your contact aids, your hands, your arms, your shoulders are responsible for so much of the riding of the horse. They has to provide the horse a direction of travel. It has to be influencing the horse's rhythm. It has to be influencing the horse's speed, which, you know, which gate you want to be in. You like all these things, the front to back balance, the left to right balance, and the bending if you're traveling on a curved line. Or in a shoulder in, or so the reins have so many different jobs to do, and the job of the rider is to do the right job, the right thing in the right moment. And if we do the wrong thing in the right moment, that's not going to work. And if we do the right thing in the wrong moment, that's also not going to work. So this is where we struggle as riders to become better educated in what we want to do, and also better educated in when we need to do it. And the last thing that makes it so difficult is that every single horse takes a little bit of a different contact. So I can learn how to do it very perfectly on one horse. And then I've got to sit on the next horse. I have to reset all my aids and say, what does this horse need? When does this horse need that? And how am I going to accomplish it by doing as little as possible, but achieving as much as possible? All while being perfect, like you were saying, perfectly balanced in my own position, you know, not missing timing and not tipping or falling. So, I mean, this is a major, major problem. It's almost impossible to learn in one lifetime. This is one of these things, you know, like, nobody's perfect.
It takes two to learn how to ride a horse, huh?
Yeah. And so this is one of those things. It isn't just a simple, straightforward answer. Well, the reins do this. Because as I just discussed, they do a lot of different things, and with all different horses, they sometimes have to be a little bit stronger, sometimes a little lighter, sometimes a little quicker, sometimes a little slower. So,
and like, in a perfect world, the hand's going to be just soft and carried out in front, and most of your aids are going to come from your seat and your core and a little bit of your leg positioning. But the hands and the reins are truly there for a reason, to support the overall outline and balance that we want our horses to work within for the desired results and that desired movement.
Yeah, and only through perfect or very close to perfect training can we achieve the desired outcome of, you know, a beautiful horse I barely have to, like, I can just barely touch to make a halt or, you know, but this is why we train, and this is why we all have instructors, eyes on the ground, to teach us to do it better.
And
you know, even world champions, even Charlotte Dujardin and the best riders in the world are always, this is why the sport is so awesome, is because we are never perfect in our use and our contact and our legs and our body. And we're always striving to achieve that in our own little world. So
I know there was a video that was going around on the internet not so long ago. I forget who it was, but they were doing their freestyle. And coming up their final center line, they were doing their extended trot and almost made their way into the judges' box because that halt didn't go quite as planned approaching their final salute. And there was comments about, oh, well, the rider used their hands to halt. Well, the other alternative was ending in the judges' lap. So there's times when they don't go just as planned, but I'm sure at home every day that rider is reschooling and training the horse that the positive reinforcement comes when they get the correct feel. And so as a rider, we really get to determine on these wonderful creatures what we want them to feel like and how we want them to go, and rewarding in the moments when it feels the way we want it to feel. So if you want to ride a horse with a fingertip light pressure, then you train them that that is where we have the release. That's where things soften. Some riders truly prefer to have a little bit more weight in their rein. And so I spend a lot of time in front of my riders at a halt, and I'll take the reins and I'll go, okay, what does the horse feel like in your hands? If I'm up by the bit end and you're down in the saddle, then how much are you feeling? And they'll go, well, I've got about this much in the left and this much in the right. And I go, oh, well, maybe we should work on addressing why the horse is heavier on this rein, or why you feel like you've got more in your hands through this exercise, and how we can get them that closer to your ideal with that lighter feel, especially for smaller ladies that might not have the strength to really keep a horse together in those moments when it happens, and really need that lighter, more sensitive feel maintained throughout all the work.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. And I like a lot of riders to watch videos of themselves riding, because, you know, picking out a rider that's hands are kind of heavy or kind of busy, or that's can be fairly simple to do, right? So when a rider watches themselves ride, they can, you know, they may not be able to pick out the small mistakes and the little balance changes. I mean, not everybody's, you know, an instructor and has been watching horses forever and riders forever and help them, but you can sort of determine that, oh, that doesn't look good. I want it to be better. And you can go to an instructor and say, you know, I was watching video and I think I look too heavy or too busy with my hands. Can you help me with that today? Or, you know, refer to a book and say, you know, because a lot of books will offer you, like, this is how you make a horse lighter. This is how you change the balance, you know, and sort of you can coach yourself through these moments a little bit with things that are obvious about our hands.
I think that's easy to see, right? It's easy to see on video, or, you know, if your horse is fussy, that's something to think about. Like, are my hands bouncing? Like, am I moving? Am I not creating a stable connection? That's also something that can happen. You know, you don't have quiet hands because you're really not paying attention to what your arms are doing.
And stable relative to the motion of the horse as well. Thinking about how in the walk and in the canter, the arms need to allow the horse to have the freedom to undulate over the top line and truly reach and seek with every stride. That if you keep your hands fixed in those gates, you're actually going to block the motion of the horse. And then looking at, say, the posting trot, where your hands need to stay stable relative to the horse's mouth rather than going up and down with your body. And by becoming more aware of your own positioning and how you need to move with the horse in its motion, then you can become more consistent in what you're giving the horse to connect to.
Yeah, no, I agree for sure. But as we said, this is a great topic, and it was a great question for our listener. It's a huge topic. You know, we could literally talk 2 hours on this and have lots to say. So we are so thankful that Miss Laura Ashley Killian from Laura Ashley Dressage was able to come on, one of the newest certified instructors through Fourth Level. Laura Ashley, thank you so much. How can our listeners find you online?
We are currently working on our new website development. So take a look at www.lauraashleydressage.com. And in the meantime, feel free to check out our Facebook and our Instagram as well, under Laura Ashley Dressage as well there too.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much. And you have great tips, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah. We'll chat again soon, I hope.
You got it. Well, Phil, everybody knows we've been chatting about this Total Saddle Fit Stability Stirrup Leathers, and Phil and I love it. But Phil, I've got a clear winner right now, and I can actually sit Big Mike's extended trot. The only thing I've changed, okay, Big Mike's gotten better. Big Mike's gotten stronger. But I really, really believe that these stirrup leathers have really helped me. They really do help stabilize. They give a little bit more surface area. They're great quality. They're soft leather. I don't get any pinching. I've been really pleased. And I've really, it's really, really helped me a lot because he's not easy to sit on. So I have to really thank Total Saddle Fit for another great product. And the Stability Stirrup Leathers are just in their great lineup of products. And
Yeah. I was going to say that both you and I will be sporting the stirrup leathers and the girths at shows. Come up and talk to us about the products, yep, or, you know, ask them questions, or you want to talk about, if you want to talk about our, the podcast or whatever, just, you know, we're open to discussions as long as we're not like going right into the ring or something like that. But
maybe the right time, but but we
love it. There's a right time, and usually when we're coming out and the tears aren't flowing anymore or something like that. But yeah, come check out the products. Check out these stirrup leathers. They're a little different than anything that you've seen before. But, you know, once you get a look at them, it's easy to understand, you know, how they help. And you can check out the quality and then go online and order from TotalSaddleFit.com.
Absolutely. Well, and as always, we have a great Total Saddle Fit tip of the week from newly certified instructor Ashley Rand.
This week's dressage training tip is brought to you by Total Saddle Fit, home of the shoulder relief girth at TotalSaddleFit.com.
Well, this week for our Total Saddle Fit tip of the week and highlighting the newest USDF certified instructors, we have Ashley Rand Torres on the program. And she's been on before because she's been a wonderful part of our life here at Maple Crest. And now she has a new venture. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Well, we always love having you on, and I was proud of all the new certified instructors, but particularly proud of you because I think I forced you to do it.
It's a good course.
And I'm so proud of you. You're my first student to go and do that, so I'm particularly proud. But Ashley, you've got lots of fun things going on in your life. Can you fill us in on what you're doing?
Yeah, so after this past Florida season, I moved back to Northeast Ohio, just outside of Cleveland, and my family just built a whole training facility, and I'm starting my own business up here and just getting everything rolling. First time being by myself and not being at Maple Crest. It's scary and exciting all at the same time.
Oh, you're so ready. You are so ready. So tell us about your new farm. This is so fun.
Yeah, so we have about a 50-acre farm outside of Cleveland with just about 10 stalls right now. And I have 6 horses on property, and we're just getting things rolling and figuring out all the details and the footing and what kind of fence we need to put in for everything. And it's a lot of nitty-gritty details, but it's super good to learn, and I'm learning so much about everything, and it's really great.
So what has, just from building a farm, and this isn't quite your tip yet, but I think it's an interesting thing as you're starting the farm, what would be one of your, even one or two of the biggest challenges of building a farm? I mean, you pretty much built it from scratch, right?
Yeah, we completely built it from scratch. My biggest hurdle was the research. As riders, we ride on world-class footing and world-class arenas and barns, but we never sit down and think what goes into those things or the details in the barn that you want to think of before you have to sit down in a meeting and actually remember all of those little things that you want. That was my biggest challenge, was to remember how to make things more efficient and more accessible on the spot. Because we work in barns every day and we're like, oh, that would be easier. But then you have to remember that. So my biggest hurdle personally was the footing up here, because we don't have a lot of access to great footing. So we had to ship it in from California. And that was a big challenge because I did it myself, and I've been home for 2 weeks now, and it's just now getting to the point where I can consistently ride on it, and it's been a lot of work, but it's going to be worth it in the end.
Yeah, no, I think that you're right. And it's fun even hearing, you know, I built my barn 10 years ago here now, which is crazy. And just even the access of new materials that you have, you know, that I wish I had had 10 years ago is really interesting. And
it's amazing,
you know,
the different technologies that they have come up with.
Yeah. And just the things that you've talked about, I'm like, oh my gosh, that would have been so great. I wish we had that when I was building my farm.
The one thing I did say was I wanted multiple hydrants to water the rink, because when we'd have to water at Maple Crest, it's just one hose. So I put in two accesses of water, so the rain gets watered twice as fast.
That's so brilliant.
That was one of my main points.
So brilliant. I wish I had known that. But now it's not changing. But yeah. No, it's true. Like I was like, oh my gosh, that is so smart. Like I didn't even think of that. I just was thought of water, you know. So I think, but you're absolutely right. Like it really, as you're building a farm, you need to start a blog. That's for another experience. But you have a great Total Saddle Fit tip of the week for us. What do you have for us?
Yeah, my tip of the week would be this has affected me personally this past show season, is really to read and know the rules of the competitions that you are going to. So USDF, USEF rules. And especially, I know there are new bits that are coming out that are still on the under review list. So just read up on all the rules so you know you're confident going into the ring, knowing you aren't in an illegal bit or an under review bit, because you're still not allowed to show with a bit that's under review. So it's just, for me, really important to know back and forth the rules and making sure that you're confident going in and you get all the points that you can.
I think that's great, because it's true. So there is actually a really good access point to some of this. And just full disclosure, I'm actually on the high performance rules working committee, rules working group. And there is on the USEF dressage rule of the rule book, there's an Annex A. So if you go to the USEF website and plug in Annex A, it will come up, and there's a chart that a lot of people have spent a lot of time to put down the bit. It's a picture. If it's USEF legal, if it's FEI legal, if it's under review, there's also a lot of new tack that's on that chart that is really helpful. So there may be the latest, greatest bridle out, but it may not have gone through the approval yet. So I think it's so important, especially with the new tack. There is a delay of when it comes out to when it gets approved, and when it goes through sort of the process at USEF, it may be just fine and not something that would hurt a horse, but you're absolutely right. Like if you use it, you'll be eliminated at the end.
Just because you can buy it doesn't mean that it's approved. I think that's the sort of thing.
Yeah.
It gets made, it gets distributed, it gets sold to people, and then the rules committee look at it, right? They, you know, tack companies don't send it to a rules committee and make sure that it's legal before they start selling it, which should be the way it should go. But anyways,
It whips. Just because you buy a whip at a tack store doesn't mean it's the right length. And that's
a big one.
That's a big one. I was standing at the White Fences horse show, and I don't remember, Ashley, if you were with me or not, and somebody got eliminated on the spot because their whip was too long. And it was like, they're like, I just bought it at the tack store. And then the tack stores, they may know, but they maybe don't care.
They're not
going to
tell you.
Yeah, they're going to tell you. Not because they're trying to be mean. They just, maybe you want a longer whip. Like, it's not their responsibility. Yeah. And also freestyles. We talked about that. We've had a great interview on freestyles recently with Beth Hall. And she went through some of the rules that are important for freestyles. So, you know, all this stuff is out there. And Ashley is right. You have to take time. You have to ride in a throat latch. A lot of these bridles now. They have detachable throat latches. Those are not, you know, they don't tell you when you purchase the bridle. They don't tell you that. So that's all incredibly important. So I think, Ashley, you're right on the spot on this Total Saddle Fit tip of the week. And if our listeners are in the Cleveland area, how do they find you online?
They can find me I'm on all social media. My company's name is Art Dressage, ART Dressage. And my name is Ashley Mantoris. So I'm on all social media, and I have a website, Art Dressage. So I am very accessible.
Fantastic. Well, we're super proud of you, and we can't wait to see the new farm.
Yes.
As always, we love email and Facebook shout outs. We really appreciate it from everybody. And we actually have a few more. I got one actually while we were doing recording the show. So we will get to them as can in the next month or so. And as always, you can find our show notes and links to today's guest on our website, dressageradio.com. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. Follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com, and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
I think the best way to find me is on Facebook or email philip@horseradionetwork.com. I'd like to thank our sponsors for allowing us to put on a show, and don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com.
Everybody, keep your heels down and your shoulders back, and we will talk to you soon.